And it's like they're just nice. And they're just now getting to, I don't know what this one's called.
Yeah, if
But
we're going
like,
to talk about wrestling, it may as well get recorded for Stunt Granny Audio
yeah.
1177, I think,
Yeah, all of our old man
without
talk is over.
without looking at whatever number you and Chris were 76. So yeah, 77. I actually had it right. Kevin DeFranco, Jeremy Mays, talking about TNA wrestling. And boy, I am unsurprised that the Righteous is involved with Matt and Jeff Hardy, and specifically in a Final Deletion style
Well,
matchup
you
here.
better not be. It's been going on for the better part, I think, of a year. Like, they've already had the tag team title matches. They go back and forth. And, like, now it's just, I mean, it's the same wackiness, but it's like, how long ago was that original Final Deletion? You know, like, so
You're
it's
gonna make
kind
me
of
pull that up.
strange, you know? Was it 2019? Like, it's been a long time. And it's just a weird thing to see they're still doing this stuff. And especially with, like, you know, the Righteous never gets over anywhere they go. So I don't even know if this will help. I don't know what it is about them. People just don't care about them.
Like I've always kinda dug them. But like you said, they do not seem to catch on at
No.
all. So, what are you gonna do here?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you their gimmick outside of they both dress in white. And the one guy just holds his lapels, and the other guy, Victor, just dances to the ring weirdly. You
The
know?
Broken Universe. 2016 to 2017.
2016. Wow. I had no clue that was 10 years ago. Because I remember we all watched it, like, this is pretty fun. But now it's like, it's almost just old hat. Like, okay. You
Well,
know?
yeah, I do think that that is part of why I am uninterested in the Righteous and Hardy's
Yeah.
version of
Yeah.
it. Like, yeah, the novelty of what they did has really worn off, and I don't know. I feel like you're gonna need to do something really spectacular to kind of win me over in that department, and I am not quite sure if Matt and Jeff Hardy are physically capable of that anymore.
No, and that's actually one of the things I'm gonna bring up. Like, they're just old. I mean, we all are. And it's just like, this isn't cool anymore. I mean, I don't know, cutting edge may be too much, but you know, literally never seen something like this. So
Oh yeah, like I mean in 2016, maybe cutting edge isn't quite the right word, but like you said, it was something that we really had not seen. And it was pre-COVID, so you know, it wasn't like a forced recorded segment, you know, or
yeah.
match outside of the arena. Like they did this as a it's a real earnest concept that they really hit the spot at the time. They really hit the spot at the time. And
Oh, yeah.
I am as with anything TNA, still uninterested.
Well, I will be giving this a second view tomorrow because I have no idea what's going on in this thing without some sort of dialogue.
Oh,
Like, the
yeah.
Hardys just got put in a lake, in the Lake of Reincarnation. But then they came out dressed like extras from Eyes Wide Shut. And I have no clue. I'm distracted, so I better stop. So all right, they got me. Never mind. I retreat. I will definitely see what the hell this is all about tomorrow. So, and I guess that's the point. It's wacky and I'm all in. So, but well, since you
I
said,
know it's recorded. Maybe you'll talk me into it. Maybe I'll remember to watch it tomorrow, sometime.
And honestly, if not, okay. You know, like, all right. TNA, I've never seen a company squander their momentum like TNA. You know, they had the NXT tie-in. People were really hyped up on it. And it's just the same old, same old. Same bad. Like, I watch the pay-per-views, and I have TNA Plus. And the pay-per-views, there's, it's the same. The same thing. Every match has got to have some goofy ass ending. And it's like, can you be different? Oh, no, wait a minute. You're TNA. That's just what you do, regardless of who writes. I mean, they fire Tommy Dreamer if they get rid of this, and it's still the same nonsense. So I don't know. And especially they just lost Santana. It sounds like Leon Slater is going to be on the way out too. So.
In news that should shock just about no one.
Well, I thought that it was interesting that he showed up on NXT at the end of the show, because frankly, the end of NXT this week surprised me. So I'm guessing Tony D is going to drop the belt to Santana, and I'm guessing Nakara is going to the main roster.
I don't know where Naraku goes at this point. We've talked about it ad nauseum with NXT. For some reason, they start these guys at the top and then have to figure out what the hell to do with them after they lose.
And lose
Or
twice in
e
his case.
oh yeah, he lost resounding. Well, yeah, he's 2-0, and that's not a good record. Or 0-2. Tony's 2-0. But yeah, like he it's not even like, hey, we need to have a rubber match to settle this thing. Nope. Tony just blanked you 2 in a row, and what, he was the one that forced the stipulation, the street fight stipulation also?
I don't know. I do not remember.
Yeah, I feel like I remember Robert Stone asking him what the stipulation was going to be. But anywho, whatever the case, yeah, like he was the one doing most of the kind of underhanded tactics, especially since he used the mist right off the hop in the
Yes.
matchup
I like
here.
that actually. Like you don't see it very often.
It's a smart maneuver, and I agree with that.
Yeah, no DQ, might as well. So
Why hold back? That seems silly. If you're not going to get disqualified at any point, like, why start with a collar and elbow tie-up? That seems quite silly.
well, I meant just the mist in general. Like if you got it, you got it lined up. But yeah, like the mat, like I know you've we known we didn't cover much of the week in wrestling, so we don't have to like spot on anything, but it's
Oh,
like Santana showing up. Did you notice they never called him by his name?
I thought that they did for some reason.
No, I rewound it. They never call him by his name. And I'm like, they are not going to change his name. That was the first thing I thought of was, I guess Mike Santana's too easy of a name. You know, so they can call him Ricardo Santiago or some whatever nonsense that they do with people. So, but then I saw on socials today that they were actually referring to him as Mike Santana on all their socials. So I'm guessing there must have been some sort of haggling or hold up sort of deal, and they got it all worked out. Because frankly, I've always been kind of against name changes anyways, but I know like the majority of wrestling audiences don't care because they don't know most of these people, but you know.
Yeah, Santana's one of those guys that it feels like he has lived in that name long enough that it would be weird that it would be something else.
It'd be funny if he
You
named
know,
himself
like
Santana Ortiz.
because you know, no offense to someone else who debuted here, Miss Nikki Blackheart, aka Reina Volcan. You know, relative unknown. How long has Santana been around? You know what I mean?
She's not gonna be an unknown for long.
They certainly are pushing her pretty quickly here. If Booker T is already on your side, we've talked about how many times that is nothing but good news. If Booker T is gushing all over you, good things usually happen.
I'm trying to behave. So
Hey,
it was
you
son,
know,
what planet did she come from? Oh my God. Oh my God. Look, I've seen pictures of Nikki Blackheart before, and I was like, oh, and she apparently thinned down for, it looks like, fitness competition or something. And yeah, I'm breathless. And then when she came out, like, even like her vignettes were like kind of hiding the package, right? And then she comes out, and I immediately texted you guys, I'm in love. Like, holy God. Holy God. And then she's limber, and I'm like, oh, okay. She can go in the ring. And I'm like, what's happening? What, this angel descended upon earth and decided to go into wrestling? Oh, wow. Wow.
You know, it was kind of one of those funny things. I actually liked both participants in the matchup here.
She had a partner? I don't even remember. So, who was her partner? Or who was the other person?
Skylar Ray. I don't know if she was like Evolve Season 3 or whatever the hell she was, but you know, for fodder, I think it works. Plucky baby underdog kind of situation for her. I don't know if she's gonna get pushed to the moon like Miss Volcan here is again Booker T 100% behind. Like I always want to like I feel like I need to interview Charmel all the time.
Charmel and Shawn Michaels' wife, because he's got that reputation, and I know he's not exactly, I don't think he's hiring people, but I'm sure he's not saying no. So, in the history, like, I know Hunter's like the big deal, but like, and it's just guy talk. Sorry, guys, and it's like he gets to go through and he sees all of these, all this talent walk through NXT. It's just like, wow, what a professional. That's
Him and what's his what's the behind the scenes guy Albert
Matt Bloom.
Matt
Matt
Bloom
Bloom, like all the, it's as
still
wild.
behind the scenes there too. Like it's always kind of funny when his name pops up just because I feel like it stays hidden for whatever reason these days more times than not.
Yeah, but it's like, I just lost my train of thought. But yeah, steady parade, and then just like, I don't know. I'll come back to earth here. I'll be serious. She is a totally unique looking person on this roster.
Oh,
I'm sure,
yes.
I'll be dead serious. And it's like, oh wow. And again, she was good. Oh, what I was gonna say is the only thing I didn't like about Skylar Ray, whatever her name is, She got too much offense for a debut. I was expecting Volcan to just destroy her, you know? And she was selling, and I'm like, no, don't do that. Like,
Yeah, for a match that was 3 minutes long, it did seem like there was maybe one comeback. There were two different comebacks, and I felt like that was one more comeback than we needed.
I mean, it's just for like Powerhouse versus Plucky. Two's definitely too much, and really, I don't even know if one was necessary. It's like get a hope spot, and then that's it. But not like sustained offense. Like she actually took her off her feet and everything. And I'm like, no. Let's not do that. But I mean, that's just it's picky. But I mean, it's also more modern too. And it's like, well, not everyone's got to look okay. Like people have their role.
They
So.
do not quite have the AEW syndrome. They do probably have a little more selling, though, than you would have seen in the past. For sure.
So, but yeah, and that like it wasn't even much of a match. Just stuff happened,
No.
and I was also
Like I
just
said.
not, I was just not into the match at all because reasons, you know, much like on AEW. So, yeah, I don't know, like this show was weird. Like it kind of all right. So what we were talking, we started talking with TNA, right? And they're having their own.
We've started from the end of the show and are working our way towards the beginning of
That's all right. Well,
the show.
so TNA's having a tournament. I God damn it, it's slipping my mind what it's for. But they're coming up with a women's title. I believe it's a TV title? Whatever. Well, Thea Hale's in it.
Oh,
And
yes.
she took on Harley Hudson, who's another obviously another female wrestler, but she has like pink hair. She's relatively new in TNA, and I've never seen a woman win a match. And I'm like, why would you sign this person to have her job all the time? So watching Impact last week, I expected Thea Hale to lose. No, she beat the TNA person. I'm like, why?
Oh, interesting.
Well, because they don't know how to do anything right. So fast forward to this Tuesday, Thea Hale's all over the show. And you know, we've been complaining, like, where's she been all this? And she was all over the place.
Yeah, she's been one that I've been surprised that she hasn't picked up the vacuum of the all of the spots that have been left open here as of late. Just because she kind of seemed primed for it. Because she had gotten chances before, but never seemed to completely stick. I feel like they're trying another kind of version of her again this time.
Like kind
And
of grumpy.
yeah, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm it's too early to really go one way or the other, but I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm not. I was already not sure about this. So we'll see how this works in the future.
Well, she is, but like where this was going also is they inserted her into the middle of the Jada Parker Natalya feud.
Oh,
Which,
yeah.
what a dumbass ending that was. Like, all right, so Jada Parker needs to beat Natalya clean because Natalya beat her clean. And her redemption arc, the whole thing is I've gone through your other three. Or two, whatever it turned out to be, because the one got hurt. And then I'm going to beat Natalya and overcome and move on. That didn't happen. Thea Hale threw the towel in when Natalya clearly wasn't giving up. I'm
No.
like, that's not Jada Parker overcoming anything. Like, what is this? And then it just went on like, oh yeah, now we're moving on. Jada Parker, or I'm sorry, moving on with Natty and Thea Hale. Like, I'm glad to get Jada Parker away from Natty, but that's not good.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Had not thought about it that way. I was more than happy to just get Jada Parker away from Natty. Although I'm not quite sure if I want Thea Hale around her either.
No, and that's what I'm worried about. They're gonna put them with Natalia to learn. And it's like, no. Thea Hale was working the way it was. People loved her. So now we're gonna make her serious? Like,
Yeah, I think that was the other reason why I was just kind of, it feels questionable with the character change. It seemed like an unnecessary character change.
yeah, and just
Or an even an unnatural one in a lot of ways.
oh, by the way, I have to give Vic credit. He actually said something about why is the referee allowing everybody at ringside? And I was like, oh, good call. And Michael Cole actually did on Raw as well. And it's like, yeah, finally someone's speaking up. Like, this doesn't make a lick of sense. But yeah, just
They need
yeah,
a
like
manager's license.
God, that old gag. But no, like I'm trying to figure out, like there wasn't much else on NXT outside of, all right, I do like Synergy, so Shiloh Hill going to visit Danhausen to get a tooth. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Because what? I think that Kendall Gray already getting used to being in front of a microphone.
Dude, that the end of that when she was smack talking with Lola Vice, I was like, oh my God, like where did that come from? That was great. I was surprised, but also like really happy. Like, oh boy, she's because you know she's got to have that competitive nature in her, you know?
Yeah,
So
that kind of promo seems like an easy go-to for her. She seems like a bit of a natural shit talker because it's always been funny here, just because Lola and her have had a bit of a running, simmering feud even before this situation with the championship was
yeah.
involved. And because there have been a couple of times Ren's like, do you really want to piss her off? And she's like, I'm just going to take her down. Like, this is
Yeah.
not a problem.
Yeah. The old wrestler versus wrestler boxer or
Yeah,
whatever
wrestler
Lola is.
versus striker
Yeah. So.
situation. She's just, yeah, and Kendall's always just like, nah, I got this dog. Like, don't worry about
Yeah. And
it.
I just, yeah, I mean, she really showed a different side of her personality, which, you know, we don't know much about her personality. But,
Oh, no.
and the thing is, this is a cosmetic thing, but I thought it worked. So they obviously put makeup on and all that for TV when they go out there. But then she had I somehow came across one of her Instagram videos of her, Ren, and, oh, Saquon Sugars.
Oh,
I can't.
yeah. Yeah, Wednesday. Happy Wednesday,
Oh,
sir.
okay. Well, I thought Kendall Gray looked a lot better sans makeup. And what I mean by that is she looked meaner. Like, oh,
Uh-oh.
like I always loved the old gimmick that she had the black hair. She was with Mandy Rose for a while. She's in TNA now. What was her name? It's Daria Ray is her real name.
Yeah, I can't.
Crap.
It's Sonya Deville.
Yes. I always liked when she came out, she was like the MMA person, and her catchphrase was put your hair up and square up.
Oh,
Because I
yeah.
thought that was a cool idea. And it's like, oh yeah, so all right, you can be beautiful, but when it's time to fight, well, you're gonna know it.
Right.
And I don't know, it's almost like Kendall could adapt that too. Like, you know.
Oh.
But It's those real athletes. You just see them. It's funny. Maybe it's because you're told, but also you see some of them, you just kind of know. Like when she fired up in that promo, it's like, oh, she's actually had this conversation before, or like had this conversation in a mirror or something. So I was quite taken with this. I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that's kind of an ideal situation for her as far as promos go. But hey, when you knock it out of the park, you knock it out of the park. It'll be like, 'cause like you said, like I still feel like there's more character there to be there at some point. But it's kind of like picking nits, especially given her amount of time on TV. Like, they haven't really given her that much time to flesh things out at this point, and she's champ, so
And I'm
she's
guessing,
gotta kind of do it on the fly.
and I'm guessing Lola loses because, I mean, unless they're gonna hot shot Kendall to the main roster, which isn't a good idea. I'm guessing this is Lola's goodbye because they keep saying like, she never loses in
Oh yeah, in
the
the
whatever.
underground match.
Yeah. So it's like,
It does feel like this is going to be something of a passing of the torch. As much as you can have that these days. Because yeah, I feel like we've probably talked about it before, but Lola's more than ready to hit the main roster, so. Hasta la vista. Have fun up there.
Yeah. Especially because, mean to say, but there's going to be some change coming. I mean, SummerSlam's in what, 2 weeks? And then we've got, well, the 30 days for a lot of these, or the 90 days for people are coming up, I think, today. So everyone who was laid off the last round of cuts, they're all eligible to go somewhere else now. And it's like, well, no one likes being this way, but we know the pattern. So SummerSlam's coming up. There's also been a bunch of people on NXT we haven't seen anymore. Where's Josh Briggs? He's gone. Who was his partner? He hasn't been around. So there's people who are probably on the chopping block or just not being renewed and they just haven't said anything yet to make room for some of these people. I mean, Lola, Kalani Jordan, who I'm guessing is going to be like getting her final shot. I mean, oh my God. Tony D's got to lose. I mean, I don't know.
At some point you would think that he's gonna
Yeah.
take an L.
Yeah. I mean, it's been 5 years since McMahon and Pritchard took over NXT when Triple H was out. Tony D debuted on that episode in a vignette. He's still there. Everybody else is gone.
Yeah, I it it's again he's kind of in that Alexa Bliss category of I'd love to know why this has taken so long, kind of like interesting story in the WWE where they've stuck around. They seemingly have people behind them at all times because I mean it's not like Tony D has taken a back seat at any time that he's been in NXT.
Right. Not at all.
So yeah, it is really weird that somehow even with being that on camera for like you said 5 years, they're like, nah, there's something that we really still need you to work on. Just
It's like
like. Yeah, I'm with you. I got no idea what that something is.
yeah.
Just I have no idea what that something is.
Yeah, and it's like, where does he even go? Like, I this new badass character. There's plenty of badasses on Raw and SmackDown, so like having like the mob guy would have been kind of refreshing. But Unless he goes, unless Taker, gets his hooks in him and takes him to Mexico. So I don't know.
I mean, that kind of feels like the next thing, if you feel like there's something else that he needs. But again, like, I'm like, I don't know, like, I feel like the guy has good matches, he has good promos. Like, what are we dawdling around for here?
Yeah. Especially, I'm sure you haven't watched, but you didn't watch WWE Unreal, did you? The new season
Hell
came out.
no.
Okay.
No.
You don't even need to watch it. You just need to listen. So it's like a podcast for me. So I blew through the whole, five episodes, whatever it was. There's a part in this. This has to go with Tony D, but, like Chris and I were talking about, we talked about it too. And it's like SummerSlam is CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Roman, Seth. It's like, oh my God, what happened to the new people? Even Gunther, that put like all that storyline just got derailed. Now he's fighting Nick Aldis. Like, why? Like, what are we doing here? So on Unreal, Ron Breakker is featured on there, and you find out like how he got hurt. It was when he was pushing the table over. He felt it pop out, and Hunter goes, he can't just push it back in. What a weird reaction to someone having a bad hernia. So they were in a meeting, and it was after Seth got hurt. And they were all like, well, who do we want to have the title? Like, what are we going to do? And of course, they're like, well, we should have CM Punk. And someone's like, well, there's Braun, that's where we were going anyways. And Triple H actually is like, I don't know how the audience will react to that. And so I was like, well, you think the audience will think we're forcing Braun down their throat? He's like, yeah, we just don't want to do that. I literally turned my head and looked at the TV like, are they fucking laughing? Like,
Yeah, is there
what?
some type of sarcasm here? Am I
Yeah.
missing something?
They were all serious. I know Unreal's not a real show. It's clearly they are going to manipulate things the way they want, right?
Yeah.
But if that is a real thought, that the crowd is upset that somebody new came in and won the title. The guy the whole crowd barks for and cheers for, even though he's the bad guy, that we would go, oh my God, they're forcing him down our throat. The same show talking about Oba Femi, about how he's the next big thing and he's the star in this and this. And I'm like, it's like a schizophrenic writing staff. And right when I heard them, like, we don't want to push someone new down their throat, You're all fired. Get out. Like, this is ridiculous. So instead, you're like, as your pay-per-views don't sell as many tickets, ticket sales are down unless they're $25. People don't want to go to your shows because you're giving us the same goddamn thing. Like, I know Punk and Cody is not new. I'm sorry. Is not an old thing, but it's the same guys on the top still. So,
Oh yeah, it's definitely two old guys on top, for sure. And yeah, that's what wild that that was even said out loud on Unreal. Even again, like, that's why I don't watch it, 'cause I'm like, whatever, they're trying to gimmick me, and I'm okay with not being gimmicked. And yeah, I just don't know why you would think that. Like you said, like, just we say it all the time about Jey Uso. Like, just listen to the crowd. Like, for all of the detractors that Jey Uso has, online, it's just like, guys, come on, like, get a fucking grip here. Like, look at the whole crowd yeeting. Like, where are we even talking about here?
Yeah. But
And this is the same thing with Braun. Like you said, like, The whole crowd's barking, everyone's into it. No one's supposed to like him because he's been portrayed as a heel pretty much the whole time.
Yes.
He's been on the main roster, and it's just like to even have that thought enter your brain just seems so unreal to me.
I believe.
Maybe the reason for the show name, I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, true. But it's like Braun came in as a face because remember he beat Sammy? It was Sammy and him at SummerSlam. It was a face versus face and all that stuff.
Oh,
And then it
yes.
was quickly after that he joined up with Seth. I believe that's how it went. Anyways. But yeah, it's in a
Yeah.
company full of the same crap, you've got a roster full of new people. And to hear something like that is just wild. Wild to me.
Yeah, and I
So.
think it's something Chris maybe started mentioning recently. And maybe bears worth talking about with you. There are definitely Vince McMahon DNA
Oh, yeah.
still all over the product, and stuff like this is part of that. You know, like holding back on pushes for almost no reason.
Right.
You know, it is one of those classic hallmarks. Like, how many? It's always funny. It's just like, well, we've been doing this podcast long enough that it's just like, I don't even need to go back that far with how much we bitched and moaned about what they did to Roman Reigns, you
Yes.
know,
Yes.
before he became what they've had for the last like 6 years or
Yeah.
whatever
But even
it's been
Roman had to
exactly.
go away, you know?
And he had like four losses, and it's just like, why do you guys keep fucking up this moment? You know, like it is kind of funny with the him and Seth thing. It is kind of funny to think about that great moment did screw over Roman Reigns for at least one of those years in that
Yeah.
4 year string where he just kept on losing main events.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean we were
So
at what WrestleMania was that in New Orleans where Brock beat him and it was like a funeral on the way out. We're just like, what was this? Like what that was it that was the second one, right?
yeah, I believe that's
Yeah.
second New Orleans. Yeah, I
And
think
even
that's
Brock was like, this
34.
is stupid. That was one where Brock threw the belt at McMahon afterwards. And he's like, good job, asshole, and throws the belt at McMahon, or I told you so, something like that. Like, yeah. But
Oh,
yeah, but it's
yes, I
like,
mean, we don't even need to pull parallels from that long ago, you know?
yeah,
Like
right.
it is new regime, you know, like for sure Vince is out of there, all that other good stuff, and it's just like trips. Like why are you falling for the same trap that Pops did here? Like I it
Well, as Chris pointed out, a lot he likes to point out, who did Triple H learn from?
Oh
So,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, he definitely inherited some of Vince's bad habits. And again, just the reason, at least part of the reason why the product is stale in general. You know.
Well, yes, because no one gets momentum. Like, it's the same old. So try not to beat on it. But it's like, no one, again, no one new should be losing. And I said this with Chris. We shouldn't be having a third match with Brock and Oba outside of Brock losing the first two and Brock losing his last match. You know, like, okay. Like they bring like how many times Penta's gotten beat, Javon's gotten beat, Rusev, Ethan Page. Like I guess bad guys, sure, but at the same time, like how is anyone supposed to build credibility if you don't win? And I don't mean like oh I won two in a row and lost one. No, I want you to win 2 months in a row. You know, like roll through people.
No one wrestles on TV that much to do that.
But it, I don't know. Like it's seen. How are new people supposed to get anywhere when they are treated secondary? And I guess that's part of the problem, not having jobber matches too. You know, roll over some jobbers, but
Yeah, that does not happen off as much as we make fun of the match format in AEW. The WWE has not really used a whole lot of squash matches in the recent past. Like every now and again, I'd still consider the Reina Volcan match a squash match. Anything
Oh,
under
sure.
5 minutes is definitely a squash.
Yeah, but it's like,
But it's more of an NXT feature than it is a main roster feature. I suppose Oba had a couple of squash matches.
yes.
It's definitely more of a selective item on the main roster than it is down in NXT. It's a little more of a staple down there.
Yeah, but it's like if you look at, I'm basing everything off of that one conversation, that we don't want to push someone down the audience's throat when the
Right.
audience is losing their voice cheering for LA Knight, and just doesn't do anything. They were going crazy for Jacob Fatu. Nope, we're gonna squash that thing too. It's like Jacob still has an undertone of fan support, but nowhere near what it was. Nowhere near. And it's like, why are you doing this? I understand if everyone's hot, you can't be like jobbing each other. You can't job each other out, right? But
Right.
it's still okay. Like, I mean, just imagine a year ago, you had LA Knight, people going crazy for Jacob, Bron Breakker, Penta. Javon was slowly mixed in there, I'd say.
He's probably been up longer than I think at this
Yeah.
point.
But even like Trick's probably been treated the best. And Oba,
Yes.
it's like, look at all these young guys. Now, Ethan Page is not young, so I didn't include him. But he's new, and people don't like him because he doesn't try to be liked. That guy's a professional. It's crazy.
He is on a very short list of people that will probably always be a heel and continue to be unlikable. He's added to the list with Gunther. There isn't a very long list of those guys in the WWE anymore. I think that is my entire list.
But just look at it at like what we could have if they went down this course. And they're not saying jettison Punk and Cody and Roman and Seth. Of course not. But you could have a totally different scene with a mixture of people instead of the top part being hogged up by four guys.
Yeah,
And to a certain extent, the women are the same.
it's kind of wild how much it would just help to. I started thinking about Edge's retirement, where you're like, he always on the podcast to talk about facing all the young guys, and then all of a sudden it's just like Randy Orton. Other old guy, and it's just like, oh, I thought you were coming back to wrestle, like the younger generation and go from there. And it's just like, well, this is kind of disappointing, and this has to me a similar vibe to it where it's just.
Well, he finally did end up fighting some of the younger ones, but then his last match was against Sheamus. It's like, okay. And then, you
But
kind of see
yeah,
what you
like
get when he does fight younger people.
the Seths and the Romans of the world, like I'd rather see them interact with the Obas and whatnot. And I'd prefer not to see the outcome that we saw between Seth Seth and Braun Breaker, if that hasn't already been made clear
I mean,
through
is there anyone that's going
previous
to
parts of this
argue?
conversation.
Yeah. Is there anyone that's going to argue that Oba should be taking Roman Reigns on? You know? Like, sorry, Roman, you were the transitional guy because, you know, the young guy's here. And, like, Chris and I just railed against that Saturday night's main event thing. Like,
Oh, I did not watch that show, so.
the show was fine until the end. Where Roman just, it was so gross at the end. And it's like, if you want to alienate a majority of your audience by basically having it be a celebration for the New York Knicks, it was wild. It was wild to see. And I stuck through it just the whole time going, this is stupid. But anyways, but it's like, that's what it should be. Because Oba blew through Brock Lesnar. And we were there. Perfect timing for everything. Now, what changed? I don't know. Why it changed? Who knows? But then it's like straight on to, all right, I want King of the Ring, which I did need to be in anyways. He could have just been destroying people all along the way. And then beats Roman. You
Yeah, I
know?
was gonna say I don't really have a problem with the King of the Ring stuff, especially if it leads to what they being the announcers talked about the whole time, which is the championship match. It seems weird to it. It is wild that that Brock Oba match is both anticipated but also one of those things that is so unnecessary or feels like something that should be done at a later time. You don't necessarily need the championship on the line, but doesn't that help if you do have that championship on the line in Hell in a Cell?
Yep. You're exactly right.
We could do the Brock Oba part later with the championship on the line, because I still feel like we're, even though it's 1-1, that we're missing a step to these two being in a Hell in a Cell match. That's all I can really say is that I don't. I will enjoy the match, I'm sure. They do not seem angry enough at each other. They just kind of just seem like two guys that aren't used to losing, and they both lost once, so they're both angry about it. It's like, okay, yep, I understand everyone in this situation. Like, I got no beefs with what's going on, but it seems like Hell in a Cell needs to be in an elevated place from there.
I think someone was
You
saying
know,
that
like
Brock's never lost
it.
Hell in a Cell. So I think that's part of the reason why. I think.
Oh yes, Michael
Okay.
Cole, I do believe, said that Brock has never lost Hell in a Cell. So
Okay.
yeah, I do think it's going to be another one of those situations where Oba comes out with the win and ends up looking good, but with. And I guess that's the other thing that seems weird about this. The whole retirement, oh no, we were just joking. Now he's kind of back semi-regular. It feels, that's the other thing about the situation that just feels really weird. It's just like, oh, okay, so we're just gonna blow that part off. Like, I know this is wrestling, but I also feel like people have just decided recently, especially, to just hang it up, and everyone's been cool with it. See AJ Styles, John Cena. I feel like there's one other one recently that just decided, you know, yeah, I've done this for enough years. My body hates me currently. I need to stop doing this. And then AJ gets the train down in the performance center too.
Yeah, he's enjoying it. I mean, that's, he said that was a job he wanted, so he got it. So good on you, man. But yeah, it's just WWE's in a weird spot, and what, SummerSlam is next weekend, correct? So
yes. Yeah.
I guess so. We'll talk more Thursday about it, I'm sure. So, but we AEW did have their pseudo go home show for their pay per view. Which one is this? Oh, Redemption,
Redemption.
which there's no redemption stories on the show, so I don't understand why it's called that.
Just because they like to put words into
Fair.
in there for some reason or another. Hey, I think they did a half decent job of featuring the card on this Dynamite. So I would say overall, it's a somewhat successful Dynamite. Am I gonna buy Redemption? Not even the slightest chances in hell.
You mean Kevin Knight doesn't stand a chance of beating Kenny Omega? You sure? I mean, you don't want a Kevin Knight, Will Ospreay main event at Wembley? Why they did the MJF switch then, it still is lost on me. But I guess MJF, Tony Khan confirmed MJF's been working with injuries, so
Well, I mean, considering that he was strapped up like a paper mache doll in his last match, I am unsurprised by this news. He had his leg completely wrapped, and everyone's just like, "Oh no, we're not going to say anything about that." Like, even though you can tell it's wrapped under the knee wrap and the whole way up his thigh, up to his trunk, so it looks like he has a pair of pants on. We're just all gonna collectively let this slide and say that he's just fine. It's just like, okay, yeah, like I think that's when I took my hand. It's just like, yeah, I don't think they're doing this because they want to.
It certainly doesn't seem it. It certainly doesn't
Yeah,
seem it.
that one certainly seems like, not to say that there isn't some type of story in Omega and Osprey, but it does feel like the direction was probably going to be different without the injury.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Kevin Knight, he's going to be a champion that loses a match, and oh
Yeah,
boy,
exactly.
we know how much we love that stuff.
Well, he got to beat Darby Allin by cheating, which, by the way, I actually enjoyed that because you don't get that much in AEW. To be fair to them, you don't get a lot of that stuff. So, like, that was a hellacious bump Paul Turner took. I was like, someone checking on him, right? Because it really looked like he smacked that middle rope with his head. And I was like, oh no. And Kevin Knight goes to use the belt and it cheats. And I'm like, okay.
Well,
Nice.
and I think that's maybe where the distinction comes in. Like he it's usually the outside interference that ends up helping in an AEW match. Someone just straight up cheating does not quite happen as much. So and I guess kudos to Kevin Knight for cheating to beat Darby Allin.
Yeah, it sounds kind of weird, but when cheating doesn't happen, in every single match WWE, that when someone does cheat, it stands out. Like, wow. It's kind of like professional wrestling, the way they used to do it. So yeah. And no one thought Darby Allin was winning anyways. So
Oh,
why not?
no.
You can pray you protect Darby for the most part, not that you need to. So, because I mean, he won the title and never said a damn word after it. So, which I always thought was weird. Yeah.
So do you just want to go through the redemption matches then and kind of talk about what was on Dynamite?
I mean, We can, but there's definitely one match we gotta talk about. I was glad to see I was not the only person that noticed.
Oh boy.
Wrestling and I mean it just wrestling and hockey jerseys, like oh fuck yes. Like who has why how has that not been done before? You
Yeah,
know?
that was one of those items that between the Will Ospreay soccer jerseys and Divine Dominion wearing the hockey jerseys, it's just like I feel like it maybe I don't know if the WWE sold the Hank and Tank jersey. They could have, should they have wanted to. But it definitely, I'm like, oh, why isn't this a style that the WWE has pursued at some point? Either the soccer jersey style or the hockey jersey style. Like, I thought that those were both very good brand vehicles for them.
And I it also kind of made sense because they're in a street fight. Why would you want to wear next to nothing like the two of them usually do? You know? I'm being dead serious. They like Bang and Bane lets it all hang out. So it's like if you're in a street fight, you kind of want to make sure you're like protected a little bit, you know, cuts and stuff.
Days are definitely gone by that it's mandatory to wear jeans to a street fight
So
because it's not like Sky Blue or what's her name? Why am I blanking on
Julia
Blondie's
Hart.
name? Julia Hart.
Yes.
They did not exactly come dressed in street fight attire, at
No,
least
but they're
in the
like the sisters
classical
of
sense.
Sin. So they have to, you know, they kind of dress what they do it anyways. I mean, or even the what's the blood and guts match? They were just dressed normal, so that's just their thing,
Yeah,
you know.
I did kind of dig them. Being smart about attacking Divine Dominion to start the match and strangling them with canes. Again, you're in a street fight. Why are you turning your back to your opponent? You deserve to get strangled.
I mean, and also it's like the bigger women should be beating on the littler ones. So yeah, and it was like the match itself was fine, but as a guy, I was really distracted. So, you know.
That was one where, yeah, I don't think they did a good job of having reasons for both Lina Cross and Megan Bain to be selling as much as they did. Even in that situation, it seemed a little stretched with Julia Hart and Sky Blue as their opponents.
Yeah, well, they just won some tag team titles in Tokyo or Japan. So I guess they have to make sure they're, I don't know.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, they're the trios champions in Stardom, and they just lost the match on TV.
Yes.
Tony Khan really knows how to have a champion lose on TV. Like, he is a professional at having that happen. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Oh
If you're not
boy.
an AEW wrestler, you don't like your titles don't matter in AEW. But we're gonna promote you as a champion of this other place just to show you that people who job out on our shows are the champion of your company. Really makes you excited to watch that Stardom stuff. Yeah. But yeah, but like I don't know,
Yeah,
this episode.
WWE didn't do much better. The NXT TNA balance of power was not great either.
No, it wasn't until when they were like, all right, this thing's winding down. Because it's funny, NXT doesn't even mention TNA now. Like, you have no idea Thea Hale's in that tournament.
Oh
So.
yeah. The only time they mention TNA is the fact that Kalani Jordan's a former champion. Other than that, TNA
Yes.
is
Or if, like,
not
Mike
really talked
Santana,
about.
like, you know, he was former TNA champion. You know, like, they'll mention it, but
Oh.
nothing current.
Yeah,
So back to
agreed.
those old things.
We may as well cover the Triangle of Madness. Tekla versus Willow Nightingale. AEW Women's World Championship. On redemption here. I am not feeling it being the time for Miss Nightingale to win the championship here. What say you, sir?
Oh no, I think she's definitely winning. I
Oh, okay.
definitely I think this was always supposed to be the plan, because her and Mercedes have gone back and forth before. So now it could
Oh.
change, but it to me it just seems like that, yeah, it's Willow's time. And then it's like, also I wondered if Willow was supposed to have the TBS title as well, so Mercedes could win both of them.
Oh.
And when it got abandoned, well, you know, so yeah. But no, I thought from the start, Willow's winning. Now, whether
Okay.
she wins at Wembley, I don't know, but
Oh.
I this was one of the dopiest segments. Listen, I have nothing against Mick Foley. Obviously, we went to this damn karaoke thing. Who allowed him to wear that? Like, wearing some shitty Christmas, like, what are we
Christmas in
doing, man?
July, baby.
Oh, it just, no. The answer is no. Put a different shirt on.
It's just one of those ones where I'm like, he didn't add anything to the segment.
No, not at all.
And it's just like, okay, well then he's just here to be here. You know, I mean, it could have been Lexi Nair in that segment. It could have been Renee Paquette. You know, any one of their backstage correspondents, Tony Schiavone could have been there. It really did not matter that that was Mick Foley. So
No,
yeah,
it didn't bother me. It was just like, this looks stupid. Well, who's this old dude wearing a Santa Claus shirt, just kind of standing there doing nothing? You know, like,
yeah, it was kind of one of those inoffensive drivel kind of comments where it's just like, okay, like
yeah. But it's also just shows you, like,
you know, got the feud over, but again, like, yeah, why is this rando here with a gaudy Christmas
yeah, and like,
shirt?
why? I'll say it. Why does AEW need Mick Foley? You know, and it's just hiring people to hiring people, and there's a ton of them like that. Like, Mick Foley's just one of the higher profile. Why did we hire this guys? So,
Oh,
you
the
know,
fact that I've heard Paul White's name again on TV, I'm like,
he's
oh.
announcing Collision now. I don't know why.
Okay, he was not on the last Collision I watched, but I've also probably skipped a couple here
Yeah,
now,
he was on
so.
last week. He was a commentator last week.
Oh, okay. Well, I definitely missed last
Oh,
week.
yeah, duh. Yeah.
So, oh, well. Yeah, again, like I guess I don't know what he adds. And if he's with
No.
Tony Schiavone still, I guess I'm bummed that Nigel McGuinness isn't around then.
Yeah, it sounds bad because it is, but at the same time, it's also the truth. Like, this isn't a charity game, you know? Like, you're not hiring people just to give them money. So you're going to use them, right? But you don't need them. It's like, if I've got a guy here changing a light bulb, I don't need four others to do the same thing. So why would I keep hiring more light bulb changers? You know? So I don't know. That's like Paul White, him, just other wrestlers in general. Like, they signed Buster and the Brain, the Radicals, excuse me. definitely not the Radicals.
Yeah,
Just all these
definitely not
different
Radical.
people, and they don't do anything. Or they're in ROH purgatory, and who cares? But they're getting
Oh.
paid, so, you know. Good for them.
Speaking of ROH Purgatory, Bandido gonna lose to Kyle Fletcher.
Exactly. I think that sucks too. He should win, but he won't because he's the ROH
And
champion. So.
yep, that one's kind of tough. It's something to do. It's on TV. I don't know. Are they getting anywhere with Andrade?
He's going to win the national championship, which just sounds stupid. He's going to beat Mark Davis. Okay.
Yes.
And there's that.
Hey,
Like,
yeah,
okay.
I don't need Andrade three belts, especially when all three of them don't matter.
What other belts does he
What?
have?
Oh, because isn't he going to take all of the championships from the Don Callis
Oh
family?
yeah, that's right. You know what? I'm all for it if he unifies them all.
And we know that's not going to happen.
I know. We already
And
have that.
I was going to say, and if we unify them, they're just going to break apart into different belts again. So it's like Voltron belts over there on AEW. Good luck Andrade being Mr. Three Belts. I get sad when I see the Painmaker. I just
Dude, this is cringe. That like 12th, that 12th, I don't know, not 12th grade, but like 12-year-old goth nonsense from like the early 2000s. What is the pain? Oh, shut up. It really like I watch GCW and I watch a bunch of indie stuff, and it's like when the guys can't go anymore, they just start doing this dumb stuff like this, like just hurting themselves to get over. And it's like, that's just all this Painmakers feels like it is to me. And it's not, but it's like, ugh, this sucks.
Even we've kind of talked about it a bunch, I feel like, but Tommaso Ciampa, he's getting more TV time, but I don't feel like he's any higher in the rank and file than he was in the WWE.
Oh
Like,
no, he's on more, but he's gonna lose, and then he's gonna be placed on the secondary shelf. This is Tony Khan's MO. He came in, won the title, then lost, then middled about. Now he's fighting Jericho. He's getting really, more high profile, and now he's gonna get pushed back down again. So.
yep. Cape, Cape, Cage and Cope, taking on Claudio and Pac, and we're supposed to pretend like two of the losers from the Death Riders are going to beat Cope and Cage.
Well, just one. Claudio does win. Not as not he doesn't lose as often as everyone else. How's that?
Yes,
So we'll go with that. Yeah.
I would agree with that
It's
assessment.
clear at Wembley, it's gonna be Edge and Chris, sorry, Cope and Cage, the Young Bucks, maybe even FTR coming back for part of it, and then maybe the New Day. Because I think they're next week or 2 weeks that they're available. So that'll be Wembley. And that to me sounds fun. So there's no shot in hell. Like, this is almost an episode of Dynamite, to be honest. That's why you paid $50 for it.
Honestly, the fact that this only has 10 matches makes it feel like a Dynamite. Because there's usually 12 to 14. And then, oh yeah, I did forget there's actually Jon Moxley and Will Ospreay versus the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
That's an actual match at Redemption. Okay.
Yep.
Moving along here.
Yeah.
Hikaru Shida versus Maya World. Again,
Ugh. This is an
evidently.
episode of Collision. Excuse me. God.
Yeah,
Sheeta just, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is here. This isn't working for me. And Maya World just being picked to be shoved down our throats, you know? So,
well, yeah. Triple H, this is an actual instance of
yeah.
someone being shoved down our throat.
Not if you get on the AEW Reddit thread, they love this girl. No one can tell you why, but everyone loves her. Like, oh my God. Like that's a weird subreddit, by the way. Those people, oh, you, if someone criticizes something, like even rightfully, like, you know, don't run a red light. No, that's just what WWE tells you. Like, okay. All right. That's how you want it.
I'm marginally more positive. It seems like they have a direction for Sheeta now with this whole I'm gonna
Yeah,
be the ace gimmick.
that's
But to go back to the main overriding topic of AEW all the time, is she gonna get a sustained push to get that gimmick over to make it stick? I
nope.
doubt it, so it's
Unless you got
probably
collision.
It's probably not going to be great. So, there's that. Two more matches here on Redemption. Jack Perry versus the Beast Mortos
I don't
versus
care.
Commander versus Speedball Mike Bailey
Collision.
versus Nick
Collision.
Wayne versus El Clone. Oh my gosh. And last but not least, something that they did at least preview on Dynamite this week, the Bang Bang Gang, Jay White and Juice Robinson taking on the Dogs, David Finlay and Clark Connors in a double chain match, which
You were talking about Oba and Brock Lesnar being in Hell in a Cell. Here you go. You know?
This is one where they've had a feud. We've still missed a step or two, to get us to a chain match.
Or two. Like, Jay White's been gone for 18 months or 16 months or something.
15. Thank you very
Okay.
much.
He comes back and he's in a double dog collar match 3 weeks later.
Yeah,
Okay, TNA, whatever.
I'm sure that's great for whatever injury he just had.
Oh yeah, that yeah, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, exactly. So what's
'Cause
bothering
wasn't
you?
it
Oh
like
my.
a neck or shoulder thing? And he's just like, "Oh yeah, this is gonna be fun. Let's get that jerked around for an entire match."
Yep.
Okay,
Let's see,
like.
like, what could hurt me the most? Yeah, I want one of those matches. What?
Yep. Let's just ease our way back into wrestling here with a double dog collar match.
Yeah.
So, okie doke. Bell time beer on your end, sir.
What about Kenny Omega and Kevin Knight? Are we not gonna predict that one?
Yeah. You already said at
I
the
know.
top of this that he did not have a chance in hell. So
I
we.
hope I'm wrong and they shock us by having Kevin Knight win. I think that'd be hilarious. So there's that. Oh, and the Hardy thing was called the Righteous Deletion brings out Antichrist. It's called the Righteous Deletion. And then apparently the Antichrist is who came out at the end. Okay. And then also, real quick, on main event, they actually had Kiana James versus Julia.
Oh, well, that's nice that they got to finish their feud on main event.
Yeah, they posted it 2 hours ago on YouTube. And I guess they're trying to make us watch main event.
I
It'd be nice if
mean,
they mentioned it on the show, you know?
I've got to admit, main event seems to at least have a decent match here or there. 'Cause I kind of laughed that Wendy Chu was like, "I'm going to be in two places at one time," because she's going to be on both TNA and main event at the same time.
No, she's in Evolve now. Mindy Chu was in a, oh yeah, and she was on TNA. She's in three places.
Well, she did not mention the Evolve part
No.
in today's post that I saw, so
Okay.
I
Well,
will
yep. She's still with
leave it
WWE.
there.
So,
Good
no
for her.
bell time beer on my end. Nope.
Should you go into Brewston Mills, West Virginia? Okay, there's not going to be a lot of people to go to this place. But Screech Owl Brewing is a very, very tasty place to visit. They are only open Friday and Saturday because 2 70-year-olds run this brewery and they make all of the beer. They also make a delicious peanut butter pie. And this beer happens to be their Screech Owl Class 3 Whitewater IPA, regular pale or IPA, 6.9%. Very tasty beer. Should you happen to find yourself in, I don't, what is it like, the Panhandle area of West Virginia, and you happen to be there on a Friday or Saturday, I could not recommend this location enough. Honestly, from a people watching perspective and a very good beer perspective. I had a flight while I was there. This was one of them on the flight. Very, very good beers. There is that. Not going to be a popular place to go visit, but what the hell? Very tasty beer. So that is the suggestion from Matt DeFrank11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Snack Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like iHeartRadio and YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.